So there's a saying in the Gospel of Thomas that if we bring forth that which was within us, that which is within us will save us. But if we do not bring forth that which is in us, that which is in us will kill us. And so I'm wanting to have a kind of a new context for understanding what's going on when any one of us becomes kind of stuck in our life through disease, through conflict, through illness, through anything that we might find happening in our life where something is in our way of us unleashing the truth within us. That kind of place that we find ourselves is bringing us to an edge within ourselves, an edge that can either translate in terms of disease, illness, or an edge that can translate into unleashing a dimension of ourself that can really show up and make a difference in our world. And I'm wanting to speak to that need right now, that there's an urgency for us to kind of move into a relationship with what's happening in our world and what we're capable of bringing to it when we bring our attention and awareness in the context of who we are and why we're here as spiritual beings. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you not agree that whenever we are having someone or something against us, whenever we're triggered, whenever we feel diminished by what's happening in our life, that when that's our experience, we are experiencing separation? Can you see how it's only possible for us to feel diminished by a life experience if we're living in our own disconnect? Can you see how that's so? I mean, that's really a fundamental foundation principle that we need to understand, that we can only feel diminished by what we're having as our life experience when we are not connected to the truth of our own sense of well-being and worth, knowing that who we are in our essence is not some separate self just alone in this world suffering the slings and arrows of what's happening in the world, but we are born into this world for a purpose in this time, because of what is needed in our world right now. And until we awaken to that dimension of what is calling us forth, we will be in the disruption, the chaotic nature of what's happening in the world, and think it's against us, as opposed to think that it's calling us out. And this is an important shift to have, because when we're experiencing all the chaos in the world, we become modulated by that story of separation. And then it becomes as if it's real, the sense of not enough in our life, the sense of that we don't matter, that we have to live up to other people's expectations. All of these forces that are compelling us to have to be a certain way in order to measure up, or in order to survive, or in order to keep up, all of these forces are the unintended consequences of this this world that is sort of mirroring that our story of separation has reached its crescendo. And part of our work as agents of transformation, helping the midwife this new paradigm within our human family, is for us to understand that we have to somehow step out of the story of separation and own the reality of our interconnection, of our oneness, and our interdependency as a human family, indeed as all life on our planet requires, that unless we inhabit the web of life and align ourselves with the movement of life that is trying to awaken us to a dimension of being that is independent of our sense of separation, if we aren't about that, who's going to be about it for us? And so part of my practice, a couple weeks ago I did this talk on a new funding paradigm, because the reality is in mission-centric ministry in North America, we only have 23 years left before all the baby boomers and the traditionals, in other words, most of you, in 23 years, I will be 90 years old. Okay, so when the baby boomers and the traditionals age out, the love offerings and tithes of those who are not in the tradition of practicing tithing, in other words, most of U.S. congregational ministries will find an unsustainable predicament that's that's approaching. And so we have to have a different funding model if we're going to step into relevance and really have a place in the transformational story of our planet. And we need to understand that we are also caught up in that same story of separation, that if we don't somehow create a way in which we can step into and welcome the disruption as a way in which we are willing to join the effort to really lift the planet, lift our human family into a capacity to be in this world in a different context, not in the context of competition or separation, but in the context of a mutual dependency, that everyone is needed now to bring the world into a different experience. But part of this awakening of our planet, you know, we were reading this morning about the hippies. Any of you are in that generation of hippiness? A lot of you are, you know, the age of Paris. You know, it's as if we try on the sense that we can make it matter. We can make a difference. I mean, those of you in that age group, didn't you have an idealism that you saw was something unique that you brought? The world hadn't possessed that before. And yeah, we plugged a lot of men with the top and stone and all those things. But the reality is that was a preview of what we now need to be really serious about. And not think that somebody else is going to come up with it, but it's ours. And until we take ownership of what's happening in our world and acknowledge that we're helping to feed the third separation, whatever we are, we have to have things a certain way. Anybody ever have a certain way for yourself? We need to be right. Anybody ever need to be right? Anytime that we have to need something to happen in order for us to feel okay, we are amplifying the story of separation. In other words, we're basically saying, you know, I'm not a whole person. Until we understand that part of our role and part of why these times are encroaching in upon our sense of well-being is that we have to wake up and say, this is not how it's supposed to be. And if we have a sense of a greater purpose or a greater vision, it's up to us to create the pathway to its expression, because nobody else is going to do that for us. So this is why I'm going to do, this is the reason why I'm calling this talk Ownership as a Path, as a Spiritual Path, is because a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned, I started talking about the new divine ministry based upon ownership as opposed to tithing. So in other words, when we own what we're trying to create together, we all acknowledge that each one of us has the capacity to move the whole forward in the context of our owning this Unity Spiritual Center and 100% underwriting its basically its survival in the world, until we're able to see that we can accomplish that, and therefore then see that we're also able to really generate an energy around transforming lives and inspiring people to make a positive difference in our world. If we can be in ownership of something bigger than ourselves that gives us a purpose that is linked to transforming the world, we all lift up everybody else in that process. And so part of our journey is to recognize that this principle of ownership is something that we need to talk about. We need to kind of live into. So last week I was talking with Tim, and we were talking about this whole idea of ownership and in the context of membership. And we sort of got to a place where we recognized that, well, in a perfect world, membership would equal ownership. In other words, if you were a member, you would automatically be in ownership But that's not how it works in the story of separation, in the sense that we can become a member. In other words, there are people in our church who are members, but whether or not someone's in ownership, that means something else. Can you see how that's so? And so for us to kind of collectively develop a value around what does it mean to be a member, a governing member, and if it includes ownership, what does that mean? And how does that principle of ownership inform our effort to evolve ourselves to where we're 100% in ownership of what we're trying to do here at Unity Spiritual Center? Because that's the only way that we're going to survive in this economy, is if we take it upon ourselves to decide what we want to create together and be 100% responsible for owning something that is so much bigger than ourselves, it takes us all to create. And that's a huge effort, but until we demonstrate that that's possible, we have yet to unleash the part of us that is latent, ready to bring forth. But because we don't commonly engage in that effort to create something brand new that contradicts the story of our seeming reality, we never develop that dimension of ourself that is born of spirit, that is here to transform our world. And so part of in talking with Tim, and Tara brought up at our staff meeting, when are we going to be able to talk about this idea of ownership? And so I'm wanting to begin the conversation in this talk in the sense of saying that when we're in the story of separation, ownership becomes about what we have. I mean, think about it. When you think about the word ownership, you think about what you own. And you may think about, well, what I own, I take care of. And so we can see, well, okay, that's a positive way to consider what ownership might be. But if we link it always to what we're having, I own this, this is mine, we can see how we can get close to that edge where now we're making what we have define us. In other words, we have to own something, we have to have something in order to know our worth. We're not talking about that, because when we talk about that, what we have owns us. And that's what happens in the story of separation. What we have owns us. But we're conditioned to have, you see, in order to have some sense of our well-being. Because we're conditioned to look for it outside of ourselves rather than to generate that felt sense of who we are and bring that forth and live it in spite of the fact that the world is not going to necessarily validate who we are. And there should be no difference than that than being brought up in our lives, because our parents are unable to reveal that to us. Our schools are unable to reveal that to us. Our government is unable to reveal to us who we are. And if we don't take it upon ourselves and come together in the intention to create a container within which we can unleash this dimension of ourself that is not tethered to the conditions or circumstances of our external world, we have yet to enter into the dimension of what we can describe as interbeing, what Thich Nhat Hanh calls this dimension of reality that is our interconnection. We know that this is the truth, but we have yet to bring that truth into the actual experience of being in the experience of this chaotic world and be not diminished by it, but be empowered by what's happening, because the disruption opens up a portal and begins to nullify the story, because when we step into a way of being that defies what people think is what's required in order to be okay in this world, when we step into a moment and not be diminished by someone's judgment and instead say, tell me more. When we're able to be in a moment that looks like it's insufficient, but recognize that the insufficiency comes from me naming what I have, not enough. We can recognize that that's something that I can fix because I'm bigger than my beliefs. And when we understand that every time that we feel a kind of discomfort, it should remind us that we're living in the story of separation. We've lost our connection. We need to retrain ourselves that when we feel a sense of discomfort, we're activating a limiting belief that's running us without our permission. And absent of having a community that helps us remember those things, we walk away out the door today and back into the world of separation, back into you manifesting the hormones of stress, back to you trying to regulate your body and escaping and numbing out and doing whatever we need to do in order to have some respite from the chaos, the modulation of all this incoherence. We have to create a sanctuary. We have to create a way in which we can build upon a dimension of ourself that we know in principle is the reality, but we have no outer evidence. We can only manage this journey by moving our attention and awareness into that dimension of ourself that God has given us that creates the way, because there are no roadmaps. And so we are about, this ministry, this community is about creating a way to sustainable ministry that no other New Thought Church is close to discovering yet. And so let me just say this. I have to watch my time because when I'm just without notes, you know how it goes. So y'all know that I had a terminal illness a year and a half ago. And I healed myself through a number of different alternative methods, including medical cannabis. And so just so you know that my process resulted in a rapid remission of over 30 tumors in my body. My oncologist didn't give me much to be hopeful for. And within 90 days, I was totally free of any tumors. Now, the process was I didn't smoke any pot. I ingested 2,000 milligrams of THC every day, which 2,000 milligrams of THC would get somebody high for the rest of their life if they just smoked it. So I'm talking about huge, tremendous doses that created a catatonic state. And you can ask Jane about this story. In the throes of acclimating to that much THC, you have to learn how to tolerate it because the psychoactive dimension of the drug creates a dimensional rift. And so, what you need to know, this was not a fun or a pleasant experience. However, it opened up doors and dimensions within me that have not closed, and so I experienced certain phenomenon that I'm wanting to share with you. Because it goes to what is happening within me that I am now having to decide if I'm going to own it. And so I'm wanting to be able to share this in a coherent way that enables you to have a sense that we are all in relationship with a dimension of ourself that is required if the world is going to evolve. And what's required is that we tap into that place within ourself that transcends our ego, our self system, but is simply planted here because we are a part of the energy that is sent by God to participate in the healing and awakening of our human family and our planet. And so in that context, my experience of going through this process, the doors that open and have caused me to receive downloads, complete downloads of images of how this new paradigm of ministry is going to become. And so things have happened for me. For instance, someone came into my office off the street needing counseling, and this is very typical. The person sat in my office and began to tell his story. And while I was listening to him, I was opening my heart, wanting to be present, and I became aware of these images that were kind of superimposed. You know how you kind of see those heads-up displays computers or TVs, you know, there are screens, but you can see through it. Okay, so it was that sort of thing. I started seeing these geometric images that were superimposed up over this person, and it was a little bit distracting at first when I first saw it. It was kind of weird. And then as we talked, I noticed that whenever I would kind of find myself connecting to a place within myself that just kind of spoke some words, and then this person would kind of interact and then convey more things because of that one of these geometric shapes got completed and then fell out of the way. And so in the course of my conversation, I saw these geometric shapes happen and close. And so it was a way that I was experiencing a dimension that was channeled into this person's experience, and I had nothing to do with it other than I was just present observing this. Well, that sort of thing happens to me all the time now. And I wake up in the morning with absolute complete understanding as to how things work that I never knew the answers to before. And so my dilemma is that what Spirit is asking me to step into is complete ownership that I am a channel. And that's a little scary for me, because I rely upon my really cool PowerPoints and my intellect and how I like to talk about all the things I know. And it means that basically being able to own the part of me that Spirit is kind of training to be holding the space for this new paradigm of ministry practice to emerge. And so the cool thing is this. The entire New Thought movement is looking at us. The entire New Thought movement is looking at this ministry. Why? Because Jane and I are principals in the entire New Thought movement talking about us to the world. And so very shortly, the New Thought community is going to pop, and they're going to want what we're doing. And that means that we become the one that demonstrate what is possible when we come together in the intention to own something that is so much bigger than any one of us as an individual, but every one of us as an individual is absolutely essential to its creation. And so in order for us to move into the conversation about ownership, it's not about us saying, well, what do you think ownership means? Or what do you think ownership means? No, it's about us talking about our struggle to be in ownership of that dimension of ourself that is here to manifest a greater good that only we can be the conduit for its knowing. And part of our struggle is that you know, if I'm in the role of giving voice to what is possible, it's still not my job to say what we must do. It's still up to us to create what comes next. But it begins with trusting that when we come together with the intent to do something so much bigger than ourselves that can have such a great impact on the world in which we live, we need to be in our own process of asking the question, what within me must I express? And if I don't, it's going to kill me, because we're dying right now. Our planet is dying in the sense of we are languishing in somebody else will take care of us. We're languishing in a sense of it's bigger than us, because there's, you know, when we were all hippies, there were only 3 billion people in the world. Now there's 8 billion people in the world. And in order for the world to change, everybody's got to want to change. And what can I do as an individual? Well, that's the story of separation. But the story of interconnection says is that whenever we gather together as a community and we're all in the intention together and own 100% of what we have as the arena within which we bring forth this greater good, then nothing is impossible to us. So here's the thing. We need to do two things. We need to own what we've created that is participating in the story of separation. We're helping to create the story. We still are whenever we're not conscious. We have to own the world that we've created. It's not somebody that's doing something to us. It's not the Democrats, the Republicans. It's not politics. It's not Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. We have created this world, and while generations and generations and generations have participated, until we own it all and say, I welcome all this, because it's not evidence that can diminish this that we are, that we will bring forth in spite of what is happening, because we know that the outer experience is an effect of an internal process And when we begin to change how we are being with what's happening in our world instead of changing what we're having as our experience, when we shift that, we will claim our power and we will transform this world. And I just want to know one thing. Who's with us? All right, God bless you. Wow.
Woo. Are you ready to own it?